Now, just a quarter of American workers had the benefit of paid parental or family leave last year. That's according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, as reported earlier this month by our colleague Jenny Peek for a Wisconsin Watch piece on parents struggling with childcare. Paid family leave isn't required under federal or state law. A proposal from some state Democrats is trying to change that. We're going to talk about the proposed bill and then look at the impact of family leave policies on parenting, labor, and the economy. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How important is paid family leave to you? Have you benefited from it, or have you had some challenges dealing with either the caring for a new child or maybe an aging parent because you didn't have paid leave? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Sonny Pope is a Democrat representing Wisconsin's 80th Assembly District, which includes Mount Horeb. Representative Pope, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Rob.
And Sarah Finger is founder and executive director of the Wisconsin Alliance for Women's Health. Sarah, thanks for joining us today.
Great to be with you. Thank you, Rob.
Representative Pope, we'll start with you. I understand we've pulled you off the floor there. Can you give us some of the main points of what your legislation would do?
Well, I think there's two really important things it's going to do. It's going to provide an opportunity for dialogue about paid family medical leave insurance. And the one thing I want especially to do is to make sure that people understand, one, the United States is at the very, very bottom of the list of countries that provide this for their citizens, the very bottom of the list. And two, it is not something that is paid for by the employer. It's a trust fund that is paid for by the employee. Those are really two important parts. I think most people understand what paid family medical leave is, but they need to know how they get it.
Yes, so this would give, as you said, it would in effect charge employees a little bit over time. It would be kind of an insurance, like an unemployment insurance kind of thing. What would the benefits then be that they could use for paid family leave?
Well, I think people don't understand that in this country, very, very few people have paid medical leave provided by their employers, and mostly those people who are part-time employees and haven't been employed for a long stretch of time are receiving no benefit. So, you know, women have a baby and within 2 weeks they're back at work. Any additional leave is usually taken unpaid, and it's going to make a great difference for hundreds of thousands of people.
What kind of things do you hear from your constituents about the unpaid family leave concerns?
I hear lots and lots of stories about it, particularly now that COVID has swept through the country. People are wanting to be home either with their own illness or attend to a loved one in their family to provide care, and simply can't do it without risking not getting paid or even losing their job.
Your party's in the minority in both chambers, the legislature. Do you see much hope for Republican support for this measure?
I can only wish. I have introduced this bill probably four different sessions, have only managed to get one hearing on it. But if the public lets their legislators know how important this is, then perhaps in the next session we will be able to move forward on it. It's hugely important to Main Street businesses, to small businesses. It's going to make a great deal of difference in who is able to keep their jobs and who is able to take care of their families.
As we wrap up, are there other states or even countries that you'd like to see Wisconsin emulate on this issue?
Well, how about every other industrialized nation on the planet who does this, like Estonia and Bulgaria and Lithuania? They're all offering, you know, more than 60 weeks of paid family medical leave, and we're sitting down at the very bottom of the list with none. So, yes.
Representative Pope, we'll let you get back to the assembly floor. Thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Sarah Finger is with us from the Wisconsin Alliance for Women's Health. Sarah, I understand you've had a role in helping craft the proposal. What stands out to you as most important about it?
I like Representative Pope so clearly said, I mean, this is If we haven't realized the importance of paid family medical leave during the pandemic, I don't know if we ever will. You know, our organization wants to help every woman in our state reach their optimal health, safety, and economic security. And we see the lack of having paid family medical leave policies widespread throughout our state and our country as one of the greatest barriers for individuals, you know, women and working families to ever achieve that balance of health, safety, and economic security during, again, a very impossible time with the pandemic.
What do you see as the health impacts of particular if families aren't able to take that time off to care for a family member?
There is so much evidence, Rob, and I don't know what else we can do, you know, but to lift up all the health experts and all the data that shows how having paid family medical leave is so beneficial for new moms and new babies and working, you know, parents and those taking care of, you know, their parents and their own children. And there are just so many incredible health benefits that all the major health organizations, including the American Medical Association, all strongly support paid family medical leave.
Can you talk a little bit about the employee contribution aspect of this? How would it work and why was this an attractive funding model?
You know, there's no shortage of models right now. There are 10 states that have enacted statewide paid family medical leave policies. And so there's really great examples and really great evidence coming out of those states showing the benefits across the board for the employee and the employer. In Wisconsin, over the last few years, we've talked about what would make the most sense in this legislative environment, and it seemed to be having an employee contribution seemed to be the most acceptable. But even with that compromise, we still haven't been able to get bipartisan support in Wisconsin. And so we look forward to, as Representative Pope said, to, you know, lift this opportunity up as a conversation starter, remind Wisconsinites that it does not have to be this way. We don't have to be faced with the impossible situation of our economic security versus our families, and that we are open to working with, you know, the small businesses in our state and legislators on both sides of the aisle to make a policy work for Wisconsin.
We've heard talk of labor shortages or businesses having trouble finding workers. Are you hopeful that that might give an incentive for employers to offer some kind of paid family medical leave as an incentive, a way to try to bring people on?
Absolutely. We know that the benefits of paid family medical leave include worker retention and worker satisfaction. So when we're talking about having a hard time, you know, attracting people into the workforce with all of the challenges we have with childcare and with our economic, you know, the predictive scheduling and different things, you know, even big businesses all across the country are starting to realize that this is a win-win for them and their employees. And this is how we're going to really strengthen the workforce for now and for into the long term.
This is happening at the state level. At the national level, we heard some calls within the Trump administration back in the day to look at family medical leave. In the Biden administration, it would have been a part of the latest spending bill that ended up falling short. Do you hold out hope that there might be changes coming from the federal level?
You know, we've been holding our breath for the last long time, almost a year now, with the Biden administration and the opportunities at the federal level. You know, working with the authors of this legislation, we couldn't wait any longer. We knew that before the legislative session, the time ran out this year, we needed to make sure this was on the books and this was reminded, you know, voters were reminded that this is an option for us here in Wisconsin. So while we continue to explore every possible opportunity to advance paid family medical leave policy at the national level and in the state level, I really hope that your phone rings off the hook soon, your emails come in, because there's not a single person out there that hasn't been impacted by this lack of paid family medical leave policy.
Sarah, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Rob.
Sarah Finger is founder and executive director of the Wisconsin Alliance for Women's Health. We talked with her and State Representative Sandy Pope about a renewed legislative proposal for paid family leave for all Wisconsin workers. Coming up, we'll talk with a labor economist about the impact of paid family leave, what it means when people don't have it, and you can join in now at 800-642-1234. This proposal on the table of facing long odds, it looks like, in the state legislature. What do you think of the idea of employees paying into this account and getting family medical leave? at the state level? Do you want to see something like that pass at the federal level? Has it ever been a difficulty for you navigating the needs of caring for, say, a new child, an aging parent, and not having some kind of paid leave to help you do that? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk now about paid family medical leave. Earlier, we looked at a renewed legislative proposal for it in Wisconsin. Now we're going to get a national labor perspective. Betsy Stevenson is a professor of public policy and economics at the Ford School of Public Policy at the University of Michigan. Betsy was chief economist at the Department of Labor from 2010 to 2011 and advised President Barack Obama as a member of the Council of Economic Advisors from 2013 to 2015. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you have a question about paid family leave, an experience to share where you had it and were glad or didn't have it and you weren't, 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Betsy, welcome to Central Time.
It's great to talk with you today.
First, can we get your reaction to what you've heard so far about this proposal for paid family leave here in Wisconsin?
Well, I think that, you know, this is a place where a lot of states have found themselves waiting for the federal government to do something. The federal government not being able to get a national paid family leave plan passed, and then resorting to trying to set one up in the state, because the bottom line is the citizens in the state want paid family leave. We ask people, how important is paid family leave to you? How important is getting something like this done? How much are you willing to pay for it? It doesn't matter whether voters are Democrats or Republicans. Really, across the board, we see voters want more support where it comes to being able to take some time off to deal with the entrance of a new child into the home, their own health issue, or to care for a loved one who's facing a health crisis.
You testified before Congress in the fall about how the pandemic affected working families, especially women. What were some of the big takeaways, especially as they relate to this family leave issue?
Well, you know, the U.S. economy has been evolving, and we really arrived at the pandemic in a very different place, a place where women were the majority of holders of non-farm payroll jobs. So non-farm payroll jobs sounds like fanciness, but you know, that's just what we measure every month. You know, when you hear that the economy's added this many jobs, those jobs are non-farm payroll jobs. And we went into the pandemic with women holding more than 50%. And yet women lost more jobs during the pandemic than men did. The reason is that a typical recession hits our goods producing sector, right? People, when you think the economy's getting bad and you think I better cut back just in case I lose my job or my spouse loses my job or I need to help out a family member or friend, you postpone those big purchases, the durable goods, and you keep getting your hair cut. Well, the pandemic was really the exact opposite. Actually, people kept buying the durable goods and they didn't go get their hair cut and they didn't go for non-essential medical treatments, and they didn't travel, they didn't go to hotels, they didn't go to restaurants. It was all those services that got cut back. And women hold the vast majority of jobs in that service sector. And so this was the first recession where women really got hit. That was sort of whammy number one for women. Whammy number two was the fact that part of this pandemic meant that kids could not be reliably in childcare, whether that childcare was a K through 12 school or a childcare daycare program for younger children, there's just a lot of unreliability. Your kid could get sick, the teacher could get sick, maybe the school closed, maybe the daycare closed. And that has led a lot of people to have to take time off of work to meet those caregiving responsibilities. And I think all of that shined a real light on where we are in the US economy, which is we are an economy where women are not sort of the marginal secondary workers. They're deep in the trenches, as much a part of the economy as men are. And they have work experience that's similar to men's. They have more education than men. And yet they often face a disproportionate caregiving burden. And we don't have a set of policies designed to help make sure that women and men, that parents can flow smoothly between their life and their job. And we really have to fix that problem, because it's not just about childcare, which, you know, really got a lot of attention during the pandemic, but it's also about elder care, looking after our, you know, our parents as they age, or our grandparents, or a spouse who becomes sick. And what we saw during the pandemic is, even though women got hurt extra hard, I really want to emphasize the fact that men felt the pain here too. Men left jobs because there wasn't sufficient caregiving. Men have made sacrifices. And, you know, if we look at people caring for an older parent, men are 40% of the caregivers. So sure, women do it more. Women are 60%. But, you know, 4 out of 10 people are trying to balance their own personal needs, maybe their work, with caring for an adult who needs extra assistance. Men are right there. They're also right there when it comes to childcare. So this is a problem that needs to be solved. And it's not just about solving it for women. It's about solving it for the economy.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Monica is with us in Pewaukee. Monica, hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call and for this very important issue. I wanted to just give a little story of something I experienced when I was in a tourist town, in a different town, and I started talking to a couple, a very young couple, and we really hit it off because she is in the biotech and I am, you know, my education. So we were talking, and she was from a Nordic country in Europe, and as we were talking, she shared that she was expecting her first child, and she was so excited because after the baby was born, her and her husband were both going to start to focus on the baby, of course, and starting a new business that they had been dreaming about. And after I heard that, I thought, oh my goodness, what's going on? So I finally said, you think that that is a good idea to leave you? I didn't spell it out, but she had a very satisfying, successful and lucrative career in biotech. And I say, you think that that's a good idea, especially when you have the baby and the two of you? And she looked at me like if I was coming from Mars. And then all of the sudden, I saw the aha moment on her face, and she cracked up and she said, that's right, you live in the United States. And I was like, what? She said, yes, we are going to both use our parental maternity leave. Gotcha. We are going to start this business we've been dreaming of.
Gotcha. Monica, I want to jump in because we don't have too much time left with Betsy. Monica pointing toward a big disconnect between the U.S. and Northern Europe there, and some economic opportunity that having that leave can offer, it sounds like, Betsy.
Yeah, so, I mean, you heard that already, that, you know, the United States is a real outlier. Basically, every country in the world offers maternity leave. And almost every industrialized country offers maternity and paternity leave in a broader form of medical and parental leave. So we're really an outlier there. And it does constrain people, because basically when a kid comes into the home, if you don't have any paid time off, you do have a right for certain jobs to get those 12 weeks of federal unpaid medical and family leave. But unpaid puts you in a real financial pinch right at a time when your childcare costs are about to take off if you're going to return to work. And I think that that means that there's just a lot of people who don't quite make the transition. So we lose people who might prefer to work, but they just can't make it. They can't make work work because we don't give them an easy transition path to going back to work with a child, both from our lack of paid leave and our lack of affordable childcare. But you also find that when people are not so stressed about their family life and how they're going to balance a new family, when people are at a pretty creative peak in their careers, we give them space to come up with new ideas. And I mean, I don't think that paid time off is about letting you, you know, come up with your new business idea. It is about having you bond with your child and take care of those responsibilities. But I think the general point is that when you have the flexibility to take time off, when you know that you're going to be able to financially afford childcare and look after your kid, it creates a freedom that I do think spurs innovation. And that is a subtle cost that we bear every day in the United States by not having access to these very, very basic societal frameworks that every other country's providing.
Time for one more call. Ruth is with us in Eau Claire. Ruth, hi.
Yes, in this past year, we watched our daughter, who lives in Canada, have her first child. And she has a year off. She gets half her salary during that year. And she doesn't have child care costs. She and her husband have been able to, you know, do the things you've talked about. Her husband is under less stress because the family's also under less stress. And we also watched a friend of ours, her daughter, welcome their first child. Both these young women had traumatic births, by the way. And the woman living in the U.S. Just had to go back in so quickly, and she wasn't healthy enough to go back.
Ruth, thanks for sharing those stories. Betsy, in just our last minute, do you see a path from where we are now in the U.S. on family medical leave to something like what Ruth was just talking about in Canada?
So there is absolutely a path, and I remain optimistic that the Biden administration can get us there, but I'm also optimistic because states like Wisconsin are trying to move themselves there. I'm going to leave you on one last note. Most of us are going to spend about 50 years in the workforce, and we're talking about having about 1% of that time off paid so that we can care for our family. 1%. It's a small ask.
Betsy, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Betsy Stevenson, professor of public policy and economics at the Ford School of Public Policy at the University of Michigan. She joined us for a look at paid family leave policies, including a proposal here in Wisconsin that we heard about a little while ago. You could read more about some of the family and child care concerns facing Wisconsinites over at Wisconsin Watch.